anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. I'm walking down the main street in Tehran, surrounded by 3 million people. And immediately I'm surrounded by a lot of women in chadors. And they're all chanting, Allahu Akbar, Allah. Okay, I understand that.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a...
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
But you know, hallelujah is all praise to God. Allahu Akbar is pretty much the same thing. All praises right. to God. God is the greatest.
Right. I understand that. No problem. And then they start chanting something I don't understand. I know what it is now. It's Marg Barg Amariku. It was in Farsi. And so I turned to my translator. And I say, what are they saying? He said, death to America. So I'm surrounded by women chanting death to America. I'm the only guy in Tehran wearing a tie. I have my Harris tweed jacket on. And they're chanting death to America. And so some guy comes up to me and says, are you an American? And I thought, maybe I should say I'm a Canadian. So I said, yeah, I'm an American. And they said, well, I'd like to go to America. I've never met a people who were so skilled at separating the individual from the regime that he has to live under than the Iranian people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So tell me, so now this is, I think, very important, you know, that people know that we love Jesus, you know, believe that he was the Messiah. He did many miracles by the permission of God, born of a virgin. We believe in his second coming, that he'll be king when he returns. I mean, the majority have no idea. We confirm he was a prophet, messenger, as the Bible says. The other things that we value as Muslims, of modesty, opposition to pornography, you talk about this, abortion, all of these things I can keep going on, the sexualization of children in the schools, upholding family values, you know, condemning usury, and I can go on and on. The respect
right.
for moral order, gender
right.
roles.
That's it. You said it. That's the basis of the Muslim-Catholic alliance. That's the basis for the alliance.
Yeah.
Because it goes to the heart of what it means to be an American. We had all of these Protestant churches. They had to separate that from the, talking about the founding fathers. The basis that for America was the moral law. You had to accept the moral law, specifically the moral law concerning sexuality, because you couldn't survive on the frontier if your wife is running around with someone else. It had to happen. That's what happened. That's the basis. John Adams said we have no constitution that functions in the absence of a moral people. What happened over this period of time is the undermined the moral consensus after World War II by constantly promoting pornography. Pornography, they destroyed the distinction in the First Amendment. Pornography was never covered as free speech. The changed all that. The gave us abortion. We have to understand where this came from, who did it. We have to, because Sun Tzu said, if you don't know who you are and you can't identify the enemy, you will lose every battle. That's precisely the issue. In America, it's not quite reached that point because there aren't enough Muslims here. But we've been working on this in England, for example, where the Muslims are a much more significant group, especially in places like London. And my colleague, Sean Naughton, supported Dr. Ali Rehiana, who was kicked out of the National Health Service because she wrote an article defending the Palestinians. Well, what's that got to do with her being a doctor? Why was she fired? Because she defended the Palestinians. She's a Pakistani. She comes from Pakistan. She got a degree at Cambridge, a medical degree at Cambridge. That means she's completely English, and yet she's being kicked out of her job as doctor because she supported the Palestinians. Because, I don't know, because her case, she was reinstated, whether we had some, I hope we had some role to play in that, but that's the type of alliance that I think is much more relevant in England right now than America, because what, you're right, you're absolutely right. What you share, what we share is an understanding of the essential nature of the moral law in any civilization. The biggest challenge the world is facing right now is the challenge to the moral law, where the Jews, especially the Israelis, are saying, we can kill anyone. If we don't like you, we will come after you no matter where you are. We can kill the Palestinians, and you can't say anything because we have privilege. We're above the law. No one in God's eyes is above the law. And that's the fundamental challenge we face right now. And that's why Muslims and Catholics should come together.
Yeah, I was watching before Charlie Kirk had passed, there was a video of him describing the
spiritual battle is coming to the West. And the enemies are wokeism or Marxism combining with Islamism to go after what we call the American way of life. And the American way of life is very simple. I want to be able to get married, buy a home, have kids, allow them to ride their bike till the sun goes down.
American dream of what we want in America. And he was listing all of these qualities. And then me and my guests, we were like, hold on, this is what we agree with. We agree with all these things, but somehow Muslims have been painted to be the other, you know, and Muslim simply means one, if you define the word, one who has surrendered and submitted to one and only one God, the creator, not the creation. This is what a Muslim means. So how do you think, you know, for other Catholics and Christians and others, I think also Tucker Carlson has made a strong shift. You can see him, you know, from being the golden boy of Fox News to where he's at now, his mind is opening and he's really being open to dialogue and talk. I hope he also is brave enough like you to sit with a Muslim and talk. And go ahead.
I would have agreed with you until this most recent thing.
I haven't seen the recent thing. Okay, please fill us in.
So first of all, let's go back to the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service. Mm-hmm. Where Tucker Carlson says, you know, 2,000 years ago, these people were in a room eating hummus and they decided to kill Christ because he was telling the truth. That's at the, and then he burst out laughing. It was really weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I tweeted, so in clear language, Tucker Carlson is saying that the killed Christ because he told the truth and that they killed Charlie Kirk for the same reason.
That got I saw that video. Yeah.
1.3 million views within 24 hours, because that's really what he was saying. So he got huge pushback from the okay, article after article calling him an anti-Semite. So then he does another thing where he says, there's this, on the one hand, we have the Taliban, and on the other hand, we have anti-Semites. By Taliban, he meant the neoconservatives, which means which was kind of confusing. And he says, that's not the real situation. It's not about. Well, Tucker, it is about the. The question is the fundamental question facing the world right now. The have the right to violate the moral law with impunity. Do they have the right to kill anyone they don't like? And if they don't kill you, do they have the right to deplatform you and try and ruin your life economically? This is the fundamental issue in the world right now. We have to resolve this issue because we can't go on. And I'm saying right now in America, the Protestants are disappearing. This is going to be a Catholic battle, which became a hot war when the IDF fired two tank shells into the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza, causing the Pope to object. Now, obviously, I'm saying Catholic because I'm operating out of that old paradigm, Protestant Catholic, because when that triple melting pot paradigm was formulated, Muslims didn't exist here. I mean, sure they were somewhere, but they weren't a powerful force. Well, that's changing. Like in New York, for example, the mayoral election in New York is completely breaking new ground because the Democratic Party is now supporting a Muslim for mayor. This is the result of Israel's genocide in Gaza, that they've totally disgusted the Democratic Party, which to be the main support for interest in the United States.
My last question, how do we have that come to fruition now? This alliance, how can we work together on a common good? Give us some practical examples. What do you think moving forward?
Well, we're doing it right now by having this conversation.
Conversations.
We have to have this conversation. And then once we have the conversation and we have a relationship, then an incident will happen where we can unite. That's what happened in England with the Dr. Ali Rehiana. That was an incident. The group came together because we had been talking with them for a while. So we have to have the conversation. We have to have some type of mutual understanding that we share common interests, that we share a common enemy. And then when the incident arises, we can come together and act.
We're making history. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All of my books are available at fidelitypress.org. Or our magazine, Culture Wars, is available at culturewars.com.